My name is Stephanie, and I will be your conference facilitator this morning. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Fortive Corporation's conference call to discuss its proposed separation into two publicly traded companies. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during that time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Griffin Whitney, Vice President of Investor Relations. Mr. Whitney, you may begin your conference.
Thank you, Stephanie. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the call. With us today are Jim Lico, our President and Chief Executive Officer, and Chuck McLaughlin, our Senior Vice President and Chief Financial Officer. We present certain non-GAAP financial measures on today's call. Information required by SEC Regulation G relating to these non-GAAP financial measures is available on the Investors section of our website, www.fortive.com, under the heading Events and Presentations. A replay of the conference call will be archived on the Investors section of our website later today under the heading Events and Presentations and will remain archived until September 18th. During the call, we will make forward-looking statements within the meaning of the federal securities laws, including statements regarding events or developments that we expect or anticipate will or may occur in the future. These forward-looking statements are subject to a number of risks and uncertainties, and actual results might differ materially from any forward-looking statements that we make today. Additional information regarding the factors that may cause actual results to differ materially from these forward-looking statements is available in our SEC filings, including our annual report on Form 10-K for the year ended December 31st, 2018, and our quarterly report on Form 10-Q for the quarter ended June 29th, 2019, and in our press release issued earlier today. These forward-looking statements speak only as of the date that they are made, and we do not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements. With that, I'd like to turn the call over to Jim.
Thanks, Griffin. And good morning, everyone. I'll start on slide 3 of our presentation for your benefit. Thank you for joining us today, especially on such short notice. Earlier this morning, we announced our intention to separate into two independent, publicly traded companies, marking the latest step in our portfolio transformation. As you can see on slide 3, under the proposed separation, Fortive will accelerate its transition to an industrial technology company with a differentiated portfolio of growth-oriented assets that generates significant recurring revenue, highly attractive margins, and strong free cash flow. Built on a strong foundation of past success, the other company will be a leading global industrial business focused on transportation and mobility with significant scale and financial resources and a portfolio of leading brands across retail and commercial fueling, fleet management, and automotive service and repair solutions. This company will be referred to as NewCo on today's call and will be named at a later date. As separate companies, each business will benefit from the increased strategic focus and enhanced flexibility to invest in distinct organic and inorganic growth opportunities. With the strong foundation of the Fortive Business System, this will create additional opportunities and enhanced value for our employees, customers, and other stakeholders. While the final transaction structure is still being considered, we are expecting to structure the transaction in a tax-efficient manner with completion in the second half of 2020. Turning to slide 4, the Fortive that will result from this transaction will have a portfolio that is highly aligned with our significant long-term growth trends, including the rising demand for software-enabled workflows, the proliferation of connected devices and sophisticated IoT solutions, increasing productivity, safety, and security requirements, and demands for safe, high-quality healthcare across both developed and high-growth markets. With this portfolio, Fortive will be positioned to generate mid-single-digit core revenue growth, gross margins of approximately 58%, and EBITDA margins in the mid-20s. With an improved growth profile, strong margins, and the foundation of the Fortive Business System, Fortive will be in a position to further increase its strong free cash flow generation. Slides 5 and 6 give you a sense of what Fortive will look like after effecting the proposed transaction. Fortive will consist of a portfolio of leading industrial technology assets that address a broad range of attractive end markets. This portfolio will include Fortive's field solutions, product realization, health, and sensing technology businesses, including Fluke, Tektronix, ASP, and our software acquisitions, Gordian, Accruent, and Intelex. It would also include Hengstler Dynapar, which is part of the industrial technology segment today. On slide 7, you can see the continued evolution of Fortive's financial profile over the past few years. We have made significant progress with our portfolio transformation efforts. The addition of assets such as ISC, Landauer, Gordian, Accruent, and ASP have increased Fortive's growth through the cycle while also driving increases in gross margin, adjusted operating margin, and recurring revenue. Our portfolio transformation continues to build a better Fortive, well-positioned to drive even stronger earnings and more sustained growth and returns for our investors, and accelerates our path towards the achievement of the target goals that we established at our May 2019 Investor Day. Turning to slide 8 into NewCo. NewCo will be a global industrial company focused on the growth opportunities in the rapidly evolving transportation and mobility markets, with a portfolio of leading brands across retail and commercial fueling, fleet management, and automotive service and repair solutions. It will also have significant global scale across its production, go-to-market, and service capabilities. NewCo's portfolio will include Fortive's current transportation technologies and franchise distribution businesses, including Gilbarco, Veeder-Root, and Madco, among others. NewCo's financial profile reflects its well-established competitive position across a range of global end markets, with gross margins in the low 40s and EBITDA margins in the low 20s, and a recurring revenue base of greater than 30% of total revenue. The combination of strategic focus and a track record of strong free cash flow generation will provide NewCo an accelerated path to increase investments for growth and innovation. Moving to slide 9, with its global footprint, leading product and service capabilities, and the reputation for quality and innovation, NewCo will be a leading global industrial business. Further, NewCo's businesses are well positioned to address a variety of growth trends across its end markets, including the continued build-out of the fueling infrastructure in high-growth markets, the continued development of the EV charging infrastructure, the demand for increasingly sophisticated connected vehicle and fleet management solutions, the demand for smart city technologies that address the many challenges created by increasing urbanization globally, and the rising demand for digital diagnostic and workflow solutions to help address the rising complexity of new cars and trucks. Turning to slide 10, as NewCo will have a portfolio of well-known brands with a reputation for both high quality and leading service level support, a global presence that includes well-established competitive positions across both major developed markets and high-growth markets, a long track record of product innovation and technology leadership, and certainly a history of operating under a leading proven operating system, the Fortive Business System, that supports an ongoing commitment and culture to continuous improvement. Turning to slide 11, finally, in terms of next steps, we're hard at work, but there is much still to be sorted out in the coming months. This includes efforts with respect to finalizing the separation plan for NewCo, making preparations for standing NewCo up as an independent public company, and naming key NewCo leadership positions, as well as determining the details of the transaction structure and the pro forma capitalization of NewCo that will result from it. We understand the significant work ahead. However, we have meaningful experience with transactions of this type, and will leverage that prior knowledge and the strength of the Fortive Business System as we move forward. We expect completion of the transaction in the second half of 2020 and look forward to updating you on our progress. Finally, I'm extremely proud of our accomplishments thus far in our life as a public company. We owe this success to our employees around the world that have committed to our shared purpose and our core values built on the foundation of FBS. I'm confident that this will continue when we move forward as two independent companies. And with that, I'll turn it over to Griffin.
Thanks, Jim. That concludes our formal comments. Owing to the tight schedule, we apologize in advance that we may not have time to get to everybody's questions regarding today's announcement on this call. We will get through as many of you as we can, and we'll be available for follow-up calls all day today. With that, Stephanie, we are now ready for questions.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from the line of Julian Mitchell with Barclays.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Julian.
Good morning. Maybe just the first question for Jim around, you know, I think most investors wouldn't be shocked if you told them that in 3 to 5 years, GVR and Matco are not in Fortive. But you're announcing this kind of all in one go today, perhaps a little sooner than people had expected. Maybe give us some context around what drove the timing right now. Was there something in terms of the difference in medium-term organic growth in the two companies that stood out when you look at them today? Was it the pace of the acquisitions in the Fortive RemainCo that made you think that could stand alone without the cash from NewCo? Any kind of context on that, please?
Sure. Hi, Julian. Good morning. certainly, I think a couple of the things you pointed out are certainly within the context of some of the things we've been thinking about. I think what we really wanted to do here is to do this from a position of strength. And as we looked out, so first of all, I think the businesses that will constitute NewCo are in a good position right now, and certainly a number of the dynamics that are occurring in their markets, there's just a ripe number of opportunities that we think they can take advantage of to really build a business for the next decade. So we think they're well positioned in that regard. And I think as we really think about it, that's a good time. That certainly constitutes a good time. And certainly as we look forward and the ability to build both ends of Fortive, you know, you look at our M&A capital deployment over the last 3 years, you see most of our deals, almost 90-plus percent of our capital deployed towards professional instrumentation businesses. I think it really, as we saw that, we really want to make sure that these businesses have the opportunity to build their portfolio. And we think that's better done with the focus that comes from being in two independent companies.
Thanks. And then my second quick follow-up would just be around any thoughts you can give us as to dis-synergies or maybe the degree of stand-up costs that may be required for NewCo as a public company.
Julian, this is Chuck. I think probably a little early to quantify that, but roughly, you know, if you look at this at half the size of the Fortive split, you'd probably be in the zone if you looked at that, since it's about half that size, about half of those costs we called out there, but really early days on that.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Julian.
Your next question is from Steve Tussa with JP Morgan.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's any color around? Sorry, I couldn't download the slides. I'm not sure what's in there, but and any color on you know, capital structure, and also who do you kind of envision the peer group being for this kind of, for this transportation, you know, tech business? I know that, you know, they compete with Dover and Franklin to a degree, but like, how do you envision, you know, the kind of trading comparables for that business to, you know, to play out?
Steve, as Chuck, couple of things. I think Dover and Franklin are two of some pretty good comps there, I would guess. As for the capital structure, that's something that's going to be figured out in more detail going forward, but the one thing that we're going to be committed to is having investment-grade rating for both of these companies.
Okay, and then just one last quick one for me. I mean, it's not like Dover has a very high multiple, and you could argue that their, you know, product ID business is you know, very high quality, and so probably the transportation related stuff probably gets a bit of a lower multiple. You guys aren't exactly trading, you know, that cheap here. I know you've derated a bit. This just seems like somewhat of a dilutive, you know, move to me. Or is this really not about kind of, you know, value creation? It's a little more about, you know, a strategic, you know, imperative of the separate businesses.
Well, I think I think when you look at the portfolio, you're going to have a mix of businesses. There probably isn't a perfect comp in that sense. When you look at the telematics business, the opportunity to, and some of the other, because of the structure and transportation technologies and the ability to sort of move up the 30% recurring revenue as an example, you'll see that on one of the slides when you get a chance to look at it. So I think when you look at the portfolio, you're going to see a very high quality portfolio relative to EBITDA margins as well. So I think that's number one. I think the opportunity for scalability in these businesses and to do some unique things will also carry the day. And I think then you just look out long term and you say, how do you build out this? And in the long run, we think this this will be accretive to both. And the strategic value of, you know, the businesses being able to go after independently, probably, you know, we'll let the market determine the valuations of the independent companies. But we think ultimately there's real value to be created here. You look at where Fortive will be with the $1.7 billion of acquisitions that we've had, growing at, you know, mid to high single-digit growth, and the portfolio transformation that comes from that will be approaching 60% gross margins as an example. So you would think that, you know, the quality of what we'll have at Fortive and the quality of the opportunities at NewCo really, I think, will dictate a very good value for shareholders over the what I would say the midterm.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Steve.
Your next question is from Nigel Cole with Wolfe Research.
Good morning, Nigel.
Thanks. Good morning. Hi, guys. So just want to go back to your comments, Jim, about the, you know, the final structure is not, you know, yet set in stone. So, I mean, are you contemplating a dual track, you know, process here, or are you thinking about split versus spin? You know, what's on your mind here?
Well, we could tag team it, I think, a little bit on structure, but I think first and foremost, we were very early days in the process. As I said in the prepared remarks, and you know this well, we've with the number of things that we've done, whether it was the spin out from Danaher to Fortive, whether it's the Ultra work or the work we're doing for ASP, we understand that we needed to get out with an announcement to be able to get to work with a broader group of people than it takes to do some of these things. So very early days in regards to what the structure might look like. But we certainly believe that the independent publicly traded option is really the direction we're going down. So that's certainly the move, and the work we're doing right now is really the focal point of how we're spending our time.
And the only thing I'd add to that is we expect, although we'll do look at anything that creates shareholder value, but would the public company route. Has tax-free nature that we would very tax-efficient is what is most likely to be the most accretive. But, you know, we're early days here.
No question about it. And obviously, you've done a lot of really good work on the tax structure, since the spin-off from Danaher. Does this create some friction on the tax rates and the tax structure?
I don't know that it will necessarily overall, but the two companies might end up with a little bit different. It'd be unlikely that when you separate, you end up with exactly the same tax rate. So more to come on that, but I don't expect overall there to be friction, but could end up a little bit different by a company, but it's too early to know right now.
Okay, I'll leave it there. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Tyler.
Your next question is from Andrew Obin with Bank of America.
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can.
The question, when you guys started doing software deals, sort of reminds me a little bit when Danaher started moving into life sciences, you guys started to talk increasingly, you know, for SaaS deals. You know, you really start accruing more values in year 6, 7, just due to the nature of the business model. As you split the company into a more software-oriented business and sort of a traditional industrial business, will the two companies increasingly have two divergent sort of strategies for M&A and view on cost of capital and how to think about sort of return on capital for deals over the longer time? Right? Does this change the business model? Because, you know, you have some of your competitors stating that their cost of capital is zero on software deals because they use working capital. So how should I think about M&A structure for RemainCo and M&A structure for NewCo? Thank you.
Thanks. I think the approach is going to be the same. I think our cost of capital is not zero, and I think the returns in that we've always articulated around 10% in 3 years for bolt-ons and 5 years for more of a platform is the right expectation at this point. But, you know, I don't expect a change there.
Maybe the one thing, you know, NewCo will inevitably have to determine that with a new board of directors and the things that they'll do. They'll have to determine their best capital structure, and we don't want to necessarily predetermine that.
But I think as we look at deals, both businesses have opportunities within their construct of their markets to deliver and add software to components to both sides of the portfolio. And you see that in the high recurring revenue that's in both businesses. So I think there's equal opportunities. They're in different end markets. And so I think not only as Chuck said, the capital structure is essential to being able for both businesses to really go forward and take advantage of the opportunities. And we really think these two independent structures is the best advantage or the best opportunity to do that.
And just a follow-up question. What's the sort of three-year average growth rate or CAGR that we should think for NewCo, just because there are a lot of moving pieces, just sort of going to Steve's question about benchmarking?
Well, I think we'll let we don't want to sell the stock right now, so I think the thing we're really trying to do is highlight what's there today and what it'll look like over the next several years. What we know is that the markets that they play in are roughly a little bit more than $10 billion worth of served market, and over the next several years, those markets are growing mid-single digit. So, any one year might move around a little bit in that, and as we've said, we're in like a business like telematics where the market's growing. We haven't performed as well at the market rate, but we're in a very good process of improving that. So we think, this business will come out and be in markets that are growing mid-single digit, and the opportunity is to really take advantage of those markets. But I think it's a little early to sort of give any long-term growth rates. We'll let the process play out to give you more clarity around that.
Terrific. Congratulations.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks.
Your next question is from the line of Josh Pokrzywinski with Morgan Stanley.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Josh.
Jim, can you just talk a little bit about, I guess in the aftermath of the separation, you'll have kind of this lower EBITDA base for a while, lower free cash flow base for a while for new Fortive. Does that suggest that you're willing to kind of stretch the leverage targets a little bit more? To pursue similar size deals as you're looking at today? Is there a period of time where, you no longer get kind of that base effect of the transport side where maybe the balance sheet gets used a little bit more heavily?
Josh, I'll take that. No, I don't expect that we will be stretching our leverage targets here. I think the investment grade rating is really important to us, and we'll live within those. But at the same time, as Jim mentioned, we've got $1.7 billion of revenue that's here that's growing at high single digit, and the compounding effect, I think that will give us a lot of degrees of freedom.
Got it. That's helpful. And then just to follow up, Jim, on one of your comments for NewCo that they should be free to pursue their own destiny, and they've kind of implying they've been able to, or they've been passing on some properties at the expense of some of the Fortive deals. Have there been things that have come across the tape that you haven't been able to take a look at because of some of the other activity in the pipeline? And I guess related to that, is the market in fueling so consolidated where it would be hard to do a transaction there and combine some of these assets?
Yeah, I think first, there have probably been a couple things where as we balanced out looking at what we want to do in the future that maybe we haven't stepped into. But I think more importantly, it's been just looking at the variety of opportunities to pursue. And as I said, just look at our deal structure. 90-some percent of our capital has been allocated to professional instrumentation over the last 3 years. So those are the facts. And we think that there are opportunities, and ultimately will be – and as we discussed this when we separated from Fortive or from Danaher to create Fortive, we saw new opportunities. We think the same thing will happen relative to NewCo. And then I think relative to your second question, I certainly think that when you look at the broad plus $10 billion worth of opportunity in transportation, mobility, those kinds of things, those are – as much non-traditional new markets as they are what we're in today, and the scale of the business today will give them the opportunity to create the value in those opportunities. So as an example, Josh, the GTT acquisition that we did that put us into the smart city play, those are certainly wide open markets with lots of opportunities, just as one example. So we certainly think demand is the business comes together, they'll see more opportunities. There'll be opportunities that are created. There'll be new conversations with sellers as well. And I think ultimately that will create a funnel of opportunity that is much bigger than it is today.
Great. Thanks. I'll leave it there, guys.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Richard Eastman with Baird.
Hi. Thank you. Yep. Thank you for the question. Hey, just two quick things. One is what do you envision the recurring revenue to be around Fortiv on a standalone basis? Are we up around 50% or?
No. I think both companies right now are in the between 30% and 35%, and I expect that to stay.
Okay.
About recurring revenue, right?
Just because you got the software there, you got ASP in there, you got Landauer in there. I would have thought maybe that'd be a little bit higher, but okay.
Well,
and then, yep.
Yeah, I think the compounding effect of the will get us to 40 pretty quickly, and certainly beyond that as well.
Okay, and then just I'm a little bit curious with this announcement, and now we can kind of push the details forward here at a faster clip. But I'm a little bit surprised that maybe leadership for NewCo hasn't necessarily been identified. Does that I would presume it comes internally, but why have we not maybe put somebody out front here to start shaping out the strategy around NewCo?
Well, as we said, I think early days, our knowledge of doing these things is to probably be a little preemptive on the announcement in order to get to work. We certainly have we'll probably see a mix of internal and external leadership. We've got some great folks internally, and we're working hard to bring that team together. And that'll be announced in the not too distant future. But I think as we really wanted to get this out and framed, Martin Gafinowitz, who's run those businesses, Martin's going to be on the board and will be an important part of helping the business go public and have its independent situation. So, certain Martin's knowledge and expertise on the board, we'll certainly bring several board members as well together as we create a board. So we're confident we can bring together an outstanding leadership team brought together with a mix of, as you know, Rick, we'll have some folks who have probably some more, like we did with Fortiv. We have some folks who have experience on taking businesses externally and things like that. So it'll be a mix of internal and external, and we're highly confident that we can put together a team that has the focus and understanding of not only the businesses but also, the importance of continuous improvement in a culture, and ultimately will create tremendous value.
All right, we've got time for one more question.
Yep, thank you.
Thanks, Rick.
Your next question comes from the line of Andy Kaplowitz with Citi.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for fitting me in.
Good morning, Andy.
Jim, just can you give us some more color in terms of when you separate out the NewCo from Fortiv versus maybe the other option of outright selling it? Does preparing a public carve-out like this better position NewCo to be sold? And can you remind us what are the requirements to maintain a tax-efficient separation if you have substantive conversations with potential suitors?
So I think that a public company is the best way that we can have a tax-free separation for sure, and that because of that, that makes it the most likely way path forward.
Okay, that's helpful. And then just, we're sitting here a couple months into the quarter. You guys have any comments so far on the quarter itself, or just kind of we'll wait and see how September rolls out?
Today we're just going to be talking about this transaction, and as we'll be talking about the quarter with our regularly scheduled earnings call. I think it's on October 24th.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Andy. Well, I think we'll wrap it up, folks. Thanks so much for your questions and your interest. And thanks for your time this morning. As we stated previously, Fortiv was created out of a strong belief in strategic focus. We're excited about the work ahead to create two independent companies that will benefit from increased strategic focus and enhanced flexibility to invest in their distinct organic and inorganic growth opportunities. While the two companies created by this transaction will pursue independent futures,
They'll carry forward a culture centered around the principles of the Fortive Business System and the commitment to continuous improvement that remains the cornerstone of long-term success. We look forward to updating you on our progress in the days, weeks, and months to come, and we'll certainly take questions throughout the day. Ross, Griffin, and Chuck are available for any follow-up that you might have in the days to come. Thanks, everybody, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect.